I surrender all to you, holding nothing, holding nothing, holding nothing, holding nothing, holding nothing. I surrender all to you, all I have to you, holding nothing, holding nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that even as we prepare our hearts to receive your word, that there would be no resistance to the moving of your spirit, that everything that the enemy will try to do, we say that his plans are canceled, that the word will reach its target. There's a place, Lord, that you desire for us to be. And I pray now, Lord, that even as we've gathered here today, that you will take us to that place that we've never gone before, so that we can see things we've never seen before and do things we've never done before, because the hindrances of the past will be removed from our lives. You would have spoken such a clear word to us that our eyes will be opened so that we can see the pitfalls and the traps of the enemy. And as a result of seeing it, Lord, we will experience a level of victory that would take us to a whole new place. So we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Today, I know we've had several people to come to grace us with their presence recently, because I believe that this is the prophetic moment, and I believe this is a season for Cross Culture Church to have international ministries and people from all around to come in, prophets and the like, to come in with words that confirm things that God is in fact saying to us, and even challenge us, even to go to a whole nother level. And when we scheduled Dr. Okwa, we didn't know what would be happening at this particular moment. But I believe this is a perfect time for what God has to say through us through Archbishop Okwa. The thing that impressed me, there's so much on the resume, I would say let him speak, and I believe God will share with you his heart and who he is and what he's all about. But the thing that impressed me when I saw that his church was evangelistic, in the name it was evangelistic, I said, well, isn't that exactly where we are as a church, trusting God to take us to a whole new level in the area of evangelism, seeing souls come into the kingdom, seeing people's lives changed, and seeing this transformation occurring within the lives of many. And I believe that as a result of the impartation, God must first send his word. Before he does anything else, he'll send his word. And then we see the signs and wonders accompanying the message that had been spoken. So I believe today is one of those days. We're going to receive something prophetically spoken to us that will challenge us to go to a whole nother level in the Lord. Also today, his wife also, Sister Christy, is with us. We praise God for her. And I have a dear friend of mine. We go all the way back to free-for-all days. That's a long time, Minister. Warren Dillon is also with us, and his wife, lovely wife, is with us today as well. So we so appreciate them. And we're talking about, that had to be 1980, I believe, when we first met. So that kind of set the time as to how long we've been in ministry, how long we've known each other. But today I'm just really believing that God has a special word for us, that God has something for us. We're coming to the end of this year, and we're closing it out this year, the last quarter of 2018, getting ready to enter into 2019. So we trust that the message will resonate even in preparing us for this new year. Also, today is a special day for them, this is their anniversary. So their wedding anniversary. So, and they're spending their wedding anniversary with us. What a wonderful way of celebrating your marriage while you're ministering the word of the Lord. So let's welcome Archbishop Okwar as he comes with the word of the Lord. And let's open our hearts and receive what God has in store for us. Let's receive him. Let's stand as he comes to minister. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just like the apostle has said, today is our anniversary, 24 years. Hallelujah. We have three kids, two daughters, and one son. And our first daughter is 22, our son is 18, and our last daughter is 16. Amen. And today is special, and we want to thank God for sharing today with Cross Culture Church, sharing our anniversary with the church. Hallelujah. The church that believes in moving to the nations of the world. We want to thank God for the opportunity to be here today. And I would allow my wife to preach with me, but I will allow her to go and sit down. God bless you. Amen. Give her a clap offering.
Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I want to appreciate the apostle in the house. Apostle Woodrow Walker. Hallelujah. And the mama in the house, Elder Francine Walker. We want to appreciate you for giving us the opportunity to be here today to share the word of God with you. We want to thank God because the times we are in is important. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And it is important that we go to nations of the world and share the word and encourage each other so that we'll be able to weather the storm and be able to do that which God wants us to do, so that we'll be able to fulfill our purpose in our own generation. And therefore, we thank God for this opportunity. We don't take it for granted at all. And we appreciate all of you for being in church this morning, in Jesus' name. Our friends have already been introduced. It was last year that Pastor Oga Otamala brought us to meet with Apostle. And since last year, we have been in touch. And this year, when we were coming to the state, he said that we should come and minister on the 4th of November, which is today. And we want to thank God because this is not a coincidence at all. God wants us to be here today. And we want to thank you and thank you very much. Now we try and go into the word. And I pray that God will help me to be as sharp as I can be. Oh, my wife is laughing at me already because I wanted to know. All right, thank God. Oh, I have more than enough. Say he has more than enough. Say it again that he has more than enough. Amen. In the book of Mark chapter 16, if you have your Bible, please, may you open it with me. Mark chapter 16. It's a scripture that you know very well. From verse 15 to 20. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized, and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Father, we want to thank you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to appreciate you for a day like this. Nothing is hidden from you. Everything is revealed before you. Because you are omnipotent. You are omniscient. You are omnipresent. And therefore we thank you for today, bringing us together all the way, thousands of miles away, to be in the house here today, Cross Culture Church, with your people, to be able, oh Lord, to strengthen them, to fulfill their purpose in their generation. We want to thank you, Father. Take the glory, the honor, the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. I want all of us, I want to appeal to us. As I go into the world, I want to appeal for you to be praying for the nation Nigeria. Nigeria is the largest black nation on earth. We are about 200 and something million. And we have about 300 languages in Nigeria. And Nigeria is divided in such a way that the Muslims are in the north with Christian minorities. The Christians are in the middle belt. And then the Christians are also in the south. And then the western part of the south also has some Muslims there. That is the Yoruba area of Nigeria. That is the Lagos axis. And it has been the desire of the north, as usual, to Islamize the whole nation. That has been their agenda. And we have a president now that is a Muslim president. And he's doing everything to the advantage of Muslims. And he's doing everything to try to turn Nigeria into a Sharia-ruled country. And that is why we need prayers. We know that God is on the throne. Amen? But then we need prayers around the world for the nation. Islam is doing a lot of damage to the whole world. We hear about terrorists. 99% of terrorist organizations are Muslim background. 99% of terrorists, whether Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, whatever, Al-Shabaab, all of them are Muslims. Therefore, we need to pray. Just like we have been praying for U.S. and the nations of the world, we want you to be praying for the nation Nigeria. Amen? Well, we have just read, it is a scripture that is very familiar to the house, because I know you are cross-culture church. And yesterday, after God had given me the message since the other week, I decided yesterday to know what is the vision of cross-culture church. And therefore, I went online and I saw that the vision of cross-culture church is bridging the gap, changing mindset, and transforming culture to the standard of Christ. Then I knew that God has prepared a word for the house. Hallelujah, somebody. And the theme of the message is go. Just one word with two letters. Go. That is the theme of the message. Praise the Lord. If you look at your vision says clearly that you should bridge the gap. That is not bridging the gap in Latonia here, but bridging the gap of the nations of the world. Bridging the gaps of the different cultures of the world. In Nigeria alone, we have 300 different cultures. And if you take the cultures of the world, then you know that God has given you a very big job to do. It's a very big responsibility. The vision of this ministry is not local. It's a global ministry. Praise the Lord, somebody. God has called the apostle in the house for a global ministry. When God calls you, there's nothing like a local ministry. Nothing like a local ministry. You only begin at a place, a local place. But where God is taking you is beyond the locale where you are existing. And that is what God is doing with Cross Culture Church. For you to bridge the gap, change the mindset of the people, and transform culture to the standard of Christ. There are so many cultures around the world, and they need your touch. Hallelujah. They need the touch of Cross Culture Church to be able to do what? To live according to the culture of the Bible. Hallelujah, somebody. So God is saying, go. I don't know who you are. I know the apostle of the house has been traveling, but I don't know who you are. Maybe it's the whole ministry. God is telling you to go. That you have been staying in your comfort zone for long enough. The time has come for you to leave your comfort zone and to answer the call and do that which God wants you to do in your generation. Hallelujah, somebody. You might be here, you'll be thinking that you are only supposed to be a member of the church when God has actually called you to send you to the nations of the world, to carry the culture of Christ to the cultures of the world and be able to transform them into the culture of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. When God is sending you to go and you refuse to go and you hang around, you are looking for trouble. Look at what happened to Jonah. God sent Jonah to where? To Nineveh. Jonah left Nineveh and was going to Tarshish. You know the story. He ended up in the belly of the fish. And Jonah had to stay there 3 days until he cried unto the Lord. And God heard his prayer. And when Jonah was vomited, nobody needed to encourage him again. Jonah was running to Nineveh straight. And when he preached in Nineveh, the Bible said that the king and all the people, every one of them was converted. You don't know what God can use you to do in your generation. You might be looking at yourself as a nobody, that you are too small, you cannot accomplish anything. You might be thinking that your own is to be a member of the church. You are satisfied, you are working, go to church, go to office, come back, take care of your family. But you might not know that God wants to send you to affect the cultures of the world. Hallelujah, somebody. Your greatness depends on your what? Your obedience to God. That is where your greatness begins. When God is saying go, and you say, no, Lord, I can't go. I've not been trained in the Bible school. Who told you that you might be trained in the Bible school before you can win a soul? Winning a soul is different from talking about theology, talking about homiletics, talking about end time events and all of that. You don't need all of the doctrines of the Bible to win a soul. Hallelujah, somebody. You just tell somebody Jesus loves you, you are already preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord, somebody. We are to do what? We are to talk about the testimony of Jesus Christ. And what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? The Bible said the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah, somebody. And what is prophecy? Prophecy is simply saying what God is saying. That is what is prophecy. Anything outside of God's word is out of the order completely. When somebody gives you a prophecy that is out of God's word, then you are not supposed to accept it because prophecy is saying what God is saying. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. As you go into the nations of the world, in obedience to God, to preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible says a lot of things are going to happen. But then the Bible is showing us how to begin with the process of reaching the nations of the world. God is saying in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when you have received the power, what should you do? You should start in your Jerusalem. just like you are starting here in Latonia. Praise the Lord, somebody. But you must not start and end in your Jerusalem. When you start in your Jerusalem, you should go to what? To Judea. After Judea, you should go where? To Samaria. From Samaria to the nations of the world. That is the vision. Hallelujah. And that is the vision God has given this ministry. And we want to encourage all of you that the time has come for you to go out and win souls. Go on the streets and win souls. You cannot sit here and want people to come and meet you here. You go where the people are. People are in the malls. Go to Walmart. Go to Walgreens. Go to everywhere. Go to football pitches. You will find people and minister to them. You cannot stay in the house here and want God to bring people for you to minister to them. That is why the word is saying, go. The word is not saying, come and preach. The word is saying, go into the nations of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah, somebody. What are you doing with the Great Commission? The Great Commission is not just for the apostle of the house. It's not just for Elder Francine. It is for every one of you that is seated here. If you are a born-again child of God, you have been called into the ministry of reconciliation. You have been called to bring people into the kingdom of God. What are you doing with the grace God has given on your life? There's a grace that has been deposited on your life. What are you doing with that grace? God is encouraging you today to go. You have no excuse whatsoever. When God is saying go, what are you sitting and doing? What are you sitting and doing? There's somebody there that is depending on you. The person has been waiting. Maybe for the past 20 years, somebody has been waiting for you because God has assigned that person to you and you are still doing nothing. If that person were to die and go to hell, the blood of that person will be on your head because God sent you and you refuse to go. Go. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, go. Tell the one on the left, go. Tell the one on the right, go. Tell the one in front of you, go. Tell the person behind you, go. That is what God is saying to this house. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as you go, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. But them that believe not, the Bible says they shall be damned. I tell people, the best thing you can do for your enemies is not to be praying for them to die. You are wasting your time. The more you pray, the more you see them prosperous. And then you become angry with yourself and become angry with God. You pray the more. You see them get promotion ahead of you. And you become angry. Because you are not following a legitimate principle. The best thing to do to your enemies is to preach the gospel to them. Hallelujah, somebody. You show them love by preaching the gospel to them. If you pray and they all die, who are you going to bring to Christ? Are you going to win to Christ? So what you need to do, preach Christ to them. When you preach Christ to them, something is going to happen. Either they will repent and they are saved and they become your friends, or they refuse the gospel and continue to hate you and continue to fight you, and then God becomes their enemy and not you again. Because they will now be condemning themselves. So instead of praying for them to die, give them the word of God. Preach to them. That is the love you can show them. And if they still remain adamant, then their judgment is from God and not from you. Hallelujah. Amen. So stop wasting your time praying for people to die, 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 die. They will not die. Praise the Lord, somebody. Give them Christ. If they refuse, God will handle them. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as you go, signs will follow you. When you remain in the house, there's no way you can find signs in the house. You find signs and wonders When you go out and release the word, God will confirm his word with signs following. And the Bible says, five things will happen as you go to preach, that you do what? You will cast out devils. Hallelujah. You will cast out devils. And then you will do what? You will speak with new tongues. And that's not all. The Bible says, you shall take up serpents. When you take up serpents, what will happen? It means they will not hurt you. Hallelujah, somebody. You drink any poison, the poison will not hurt you. And then you will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. There are five things that the Bible has mentioned there. And you know that five stands for grace. The Bible is saying, when you obey and go, the grace of God is released upon you to see signs and wonders. That grace is released upon you. The moment you obey God and go in obedience to what God is telling you to do. But when you refuse to go, then you are walking in disobedience. And the Bible says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God is looking for your obedience. As you obey God, you will see how you enter into your greatness beyond your own imagination. But when you continue to disobey God, you are walking in rebellion, and therefore you continue to struggle for the rest of your life. As believers, you are not supposed to be struggling. You are supposed to partake in the sufferings of Christ, which is different from struggling. Hallelujah, somebody. Partaking in the sufferings of Christ and then resurrecting with him is different from struggling in life. When you are being persecuted for your faith, you are partaking in the sufferings of Christ. But where you cannot get food because food is not available to you, not because of persecution, but you are suffering. Where you are in debt, you are suffering, you are a debtor everywhere, debts and all of that. You are suffering. You are struggling. You are struggling and struggling. You don't have a good house. You don't have this. You don't have that. So many times we enter into struggles of life because of the choices we have made in life. Wrong choices we have made in life. Sometimes it's because we are living above our income or living beyond our means. Sometimes it's because of bad marriages. Sometimes it's systemic changes. The system changes and becomes unfavorable to you. There's nothing you can do about it and all of that. Praise the Lord. But as a child of God, you are not supposed to be struggling. You are only supposed to be persecuted because of your faith. That one is acceptable, but struggling is not acceptable because Jesus has paid the price. Hallelujah, somebody. The Bible says he took your infirmities, he bore your diseases, and by his stripes you were healed. The Bible says he took your poverty and gave you his riches. Praise the Lord, somebody. So whatever you need, he took your what? Your sin and gave you his righteousness. And therefore he has paid the price. Paid the price for you to live a life of a Christian, the life of a child of God. What is the life of a Christian? The Bible says we will enjoy here on earth, and in the end, we will have eternal life. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. As you are going, don't look back. Don't give up. So many things are happening in our generation. You discover that many children of God, if they tell you the statistics of how many churches close in a year, it will baffle you. Around the world, churches close down at an average of nearly 1,000 every year. Churches close down. Because ministers lock the gates of the churches. The church is closed down. People go to other places. Children of God, some of them are on the wayside, have given up. Some of them have abandoned the course. A lot of things are happening. Apart from those that have backslidden, look at the ones that have never even heard about Christ. So many times we deceive ourselves. We say that, okay, we have reached all the parts of the world. We are ready for Christ to come. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But the truth is, have we reached all the corners of the earth? Technology is good. When you are speaking on satellite or online, people around the world, they can get to you and hear the gospel. Praise the Lord. But I want to assure you that there are millions of people who don't have access to electricity, not to talk or listening to radio or seeing a television. What happened to those millions that don't even know what is electricity? So for the fact that you are preaching on satellite, doesn't mean you have reached the nations of the world. There are some people, you cannot reach them using even a car, this small car. You have to use a motorcycle, a motorbike. Because the roads going to their homes, they are not motorable. You can only use, some places you use even a bicycle. So the question is, if you are preaching only on satellite, what happened to the millions of those people who don't have access to light? Who, if nobody will come to them, does it mean God doesn't love them? Is God now only for the technologically advanced people? So we watch on satellite and then we are blessed. What about the other people who have not even heard about Christ? That is why God is saying, go. Because he can send you to a place that nobody has ever gone. Cross-culture church, you need to send out missionaries to the nations of the world. It's not just the apostle and the elder Francine. Missionaries should rise from here to the nations of the world. That is what God is talking about. The time has come for you to reach the nations of the world. Sometimes you might be sending the apostle with yourself and say, me, I cannot go. But apostle, I'm standing with you. I can pay your flight. I can do this. I can do that. That is good. But when God is saying, do more than that. You yourself, I want you to be a missionary in Tarapusa. Go to Tarapusa and preach. Don't say you are satisfied sitting down here in what? Latonia. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what God is saying. People are not hearing God again. Because people are going through things. Many people are not hearing God. If you look in the Bible in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. I will just paraphrase it. You know the scripture. But Christ was talking about the sower that went out to sow. Some seed fell on the wayside. Some on the rock. Others inside stones. And then the last group fell on good ground. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. And the Bible says, the seed here is represented by the word. The word of God. And then, the good ground, or the ground, is talking about our hearts. That's what the scripture has explained. Praise the Lord, somebody. But I want us to look at the other dimension today. The heart. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whatever you continue to hear and hear and hear affects your heart. It affects your belief. Praise the Lord, somebody. So I want to compare the ground with the ears. The first group, the ears, that when the word of God comes, it just fell by the wayside. They are not giving attention. So it just comes in and it is just there, hanging there. Nothing happens to the word. It doesn't affect the heart. The second group, on the rock, the word comes in. By the ear, block inside and refuse to allow the heart to assimilate what is coming in. And the third group, the word comes in. The ear says, this is sounding very good. Yes, the heart is itching to grab it. But then the ear still retain it. And after a while, other things come into the ear that they seem better than what the ear was hearing. So it is choked up. And then the last group, the ear now, a good ear, listening ear, that carry the whole thing into the heart and allow the heart to benefit from that which is coming. That's the fourth one. In all of this, four cases, you will notice something. According to this scripture we have just read, Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15, you will notice something. The seed is the same. The word of God. The seed. The sower is the same. Hallelujah. Because the same sower that are sowing the seed. So the seed and the sower, they are the same. That is to say what? The message and the messenger are the same. So if the message and the messenger are the same, then what happened? That only the fourth group was able to benefit from the same message from the same messenger. That the three didn't benefit from it. It means the problem here, the Bible is showing us that the problem is with the listener, the word, the hearer, the receiver. Because if the same word is coming from the same person, the sower, sowing the same seed, and then the three others were not able to benefit, only the last sower, then it means the problem is not with this word, the seed and the sower, the message and the messenger, the problem is with the receiver. Is somebody following me here this morning? Hallelujah. So, by this ratio we are just saying in this particular scripture, it means that 75% of the world is not listening to God's voice. Because only one quarter, that is 25%. Remember, there are four groups, 25 each group. So it is only one quarter that is listening to God's voice. 75% of the world, whether in church or outside the church, they are not listening to the voice of God. They will sit, you think they are hearing. They are not hearing. Their mind is somewhere, yes. And that is why you have so many problems even in the church. You need to be equipped so that you will be effective in your generation. If you can sit in church for 100 years, but you refuse to grow, you can still be a nobody in the church. You can be a nobody in the kingdom. You are not different from a child that was born from the womb to the grave. The Bible said that child knew no name. Nobody could name a child that is stillbirth from the womb to the grave. The child has no name. The child has not seen the sun. He has not been celebrated. So the difference between you and that child, when you cannot do anything for the kingdom, the difference is you have lived 100 years doing nothing. You were occupying space. That child didn't have that opportunity. He went from the womb to the grave. You had an opportunity of 100 years of doing nothing. Occupying space. Every day God is waiting for you to do something. You are doing nothing. Every day he will plug you. Do something, my child. You are doing nothing. And he wants to cut you off. But like the Bible says, the gardener will plead with him every day. Jesus is pleading with the Father. Give him another chance. Give her another chance. Maybe tomorrow they will do something. Don't cut them off. Allow them to be year in, year out. You are staying doing nothing. God is saying, go. Hallelujah. This is the time to go. This is not the time to continue to sit in church doing nothing. Every one of us, we have an assignment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So whether the problem is because of our hardness of hearts, that we are not receiving, hearing God's voice, we harden our hearts, or maybe because of our shallow lives, that we are not hearing. You know, the rock is hard. Are you understanding me? The ground is shallow. How can things grow? The thorns now choke everything. So whether we're hardness of heart, we are not getting the word. Or our shallow heart, shallow mind, shallow lives are not allowing us to get the word. Today, Christianity is 1,000 kilometers in spread, but only 1 centimeter deep in depth. That is what is happening in our generation. What do I mean? You can see churches every corner of the place, but how are the churches impacting the lives of the ordinary people? The depth is more important to God than the spread that has no effect. And that is why God is saying, you that have been sitting under this apostolic ministry that has gotten the word inside of you should not allow the word to waste. You should use it in your generation. The Bible says, David served his generation by the will of God. And after that, he joined his fathers. Are you serving your generation? Not to talk about serving your generation by the will of God. What is the will of God for you? Are you serving your generation according to God's way? Or you are just hanging around? You don't plan your life day in, day out. Your own is to go to office and come back. That is all. If maybe you watch game on television, or you go to the stadium and watch game, is that the only life you are supposed to live till you die? Or what use is that life to the kingdom of God? It's quiet here. Every choking point must be removed. Hallelujah. If there's any choking point, it must be removed. Because God wants to do something. He wants to use you. But God will never force you because he has given you a will. And he wants you to use your will in the right way. Not like Adam and Eve used their will to rebel against God. What are you doing with the will that God has given you? The devil is forcing people to worship him. Day in, day out, you see Illuminati writing letters to people and threatening them that come to us, we will make you rich. If you don't come to us, we will destroy you. That is what the devil does. But God is so loving. He allows us to make our mind choose to serve him. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who are you choosing to serve? What are you doing with your time? These are the days that we are in. So is it because of our shallow lives or our anxious minds? We are anxious only for ourselves, not about the things of God. And that is why 75% they are missing God's word. The message, they are not getting it. It's not that we don't have ears. We have ears, but majority of our people are not using their ears. There's a difference between having ears and using them and having ears for decoration. Praise the Lord, somebody. Some people have ears, but they're only there for decoration. May your ears never be there for decoration. Hanging out like two horns, may your ears be useful to you and your generation. Hallelujah, somebody. Look at it. Ours is even worse. Our generation is getting worse by the day. Because now, look at that scripture. The message and the messenger were the same. Only the listener was not getting what was happening. The problem was with the listener. Now, in our generation, we are compounding the problem of the listener. Because if the word was the same, the messenger the same, and the listener was still confused, now we have different messengers with different messages. We are confusing the receiver the more. Many people have called themselves into the service of God and they are preaching the Bible upside down. So the receivers are now more compounded and more confused than before. You see comedians, they have left their regalia of comedy. They put on suit. I carry a laptop. Before you know it, they are on the pulpit. You see, magicians have dropped their magical kit so that the Bible says the devil can appear as an angel of light. If somebody listen to me, magicians, comedians, they put their things there. When they wear a suit and carry a laptop and stand on the pulpit, they become preachers. But in their heart, they are still comedians and they are still magicians. They are preaching the letter of the word. The Bible says, the letter killeth. It is the spirit that giveth life. They don't have the spirit of the word. They only give people letters and they continue to kill the people in the churches around the world. Fake prophets all over. Everywhere, confusion. One magician called himself a preacher. He told somebody, I'm going to demonstrate the power of God. Remove everything from my pocket. They remove everything. Check his pocket. They were empty. Everybody saw the pockets were empty. Say, put your hand again and see the glory of God. And the person put the hand again and see dollars, pounds, sterling, and euro. Dollars from an empty pocket. Now money suddenly was full up inside the pockets. And the church went wide. You know, people that don't have the word, they can easily be confused. They cannot discern magic from the word or from the work of the Holy Spirit. They jump up and started clapping. Oh, God be glorified. We are seeing miracles today. Which miracle? It's a magician who is putting on a suit and is confusing you. You are saying God is working. Praise the Lord, somebody. When you are not loaded, you can be deceived. But when you are loaded with the word of God, you cannot be deceived. Because you'll be able to discern. Hallelujah. You'll be able to know what the word says. Hallelujah. When anything comes, you'll be able to know. The Bible says the time has come for us when we should grow and be preaching, and yet we are like babies waiting for the milk of the word when you ought to be preachers. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. This is not new. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, you know what the Bible says about end time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. The Bible talks about end time. When people will appoint to themselves teachers who will have itching ears, who will be telling them what they want to hear. There are some churches you dare not preach anything on holiness or on salvation. All you can hear, tomorrow you will be a millionaire. Everybody will jump up and clap their hands. Tomorrow they are still paupers, but they will not leave the church. You tell them, next week you are going to get 1 million contract. Next week come, they don't get the contract. And yet they still remain. How will you be able to discern what is right and wrong? Somebody is telling you something and your life is not changing and you are still sitting there. Instead of you to go to a living church, like a cross-culture church where you hear the word that will build you up. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Look at it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That is what is happening everywhere. When you are opportune to sit under apostolic ministry like this, you should thank God and make the best use of it. Hallelujah, somebody. The word you are getting, make the best use of it. Carry that word, overflow to others. Pray to God, cry unto God. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to overflow. Hallelujah. That should be your cry. Let God fill you up and then you should overflow. That is your essence here on earth. If not for you to overflow and touch other lives, the day you are born again, God will take you to heaven because there's nothing here on earth. God leaves you here for a purpose. You need to be filled up and overflow. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. If we are to be like Jesus, we must have a regular time of talking to God and listening to his word. Not only did Jesus spend regular time with God in prayer, he spent regular time with God in God's word. If Jesus, God himself, could be spending time with the Father, spending time in prayer, spending time in studying the word, what about you? Some people read the Bible only on Sundays. Sunday Christians. Some people try. They read their Bible on Wednesday midweek service and on Sundays. 2 days in 7 days. And you want to be loaded with the word of God in your life? If you look at the scriptures, in Mark chapter 1 verse 35, the Bible says that early morning, Jesus will separate himself and go and do what? And pray. Look at it. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day. The time that sleep is so sweet for you. I don't know that kind of 5 a.m. When you are snoring, Jesus will be going out to pray. When it's 5 a.m., your body relaxes. You want to stand up. Many people, they cannot even stand up. That is the time your body is enjoying the sleep. Before 6 approaches. Jesus, the Bible says, a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and do what? And there prayed. That was Jesus. And look at Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke 5, 16. The Bible says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and there prayed. That is Jesus. He was always praying. And when he will go out and pray in the morning, in the night, he will separate himself and pray. In the morning, the people will come. That we will see Jesus. That we will see Jesus. That we will see Jesus. Why were they coming for? Because they knew that as they had an encounter with Jesus, they had an encounter with miracle signs and wonders. It was not magic. It was because he was in contact tune with the Father. They're talking about God the Son. If the Son could do that, what are you doing with your life? Some people, they cannot pray for more than 10 minutes. If they need them to pray in 5 minutes, they are already smiling on their knees. That is, if they manage to be on their knees. Some people say, no, I can even lie down in bed and pray. And just 2 minutes, they are gone. Look at, when you talk about the word, Luke chapter 4, from verse 4, verse 8, and verse 12. If Jesus was not studying the word, how would he have answered the devil? When 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. He didn't say, this is what I know. He said, it is written. It means that he was studying the word. It is written. He didn't say, I am telling you, it is written. 3 times, he said, it is written. Praise the Lord, somebody. If the enemy comes to you, will you say it is written? Or will you be confused? And the devil is very crafty. The last time, the devil even quoted the scripture for him. But you should be always ready to say, and it is also written. Not just it is written, but it is also written. Praise the Lord, somebody. Because the devil can also quote scriptures. And when he quotes a scripture, you should quote another one to show him that you know who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. And that's not all. In Luke chapter 4, verse 21. Luke 4, 21. When they gave him the Bible or the scroll to read in the temple, something happened. He read the scripture that said, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And when he finished, he said something. That this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears. How did he know? He was reading the scrolls and reading the word of God. What are you doing with your life? Do you want to just remain a Christian? The hearers of the word, but not doers of the word? Listening to God is a first-hand experience. First-hand experience. When God asks for your attention, he doesn't want you to send a substitute. He wants you. And God wants to talk to you. Don't take God. Oh, please talk to the apostle to talk to me. No, he wants to talk to you at that moment. Hallelujah. Oh, please, Lord. The apostle has traveled. Talk to Elder Francine. Please, let her talk to me. No. He wants your attention at that time. He knows you have leaders, but at that moment, he needs your attention. There are times that God is not interested in your surrogate spirituality. You know what is surrogate? When a woman gives birth to a family that, you know, want to use her womb. Praise the Lord. The family that cannot born, they cannot borrow a womb of another woman where they can put their seed and so on, and the woman will give birth to the child for them. God is not interested in your surrogate spirituality. You want people to listen to God and to come and tell you what God is saying. God is not interested. He wants you to have an encounter with him. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to be in his presence so that he can change you for your generation, so that he can empower you to go and fulfill your purpose in your own generation. Don't tell God that let this one hear for me. No. Your wife, your father, your mother, they cannot hear for you. There are times God wants to speak to you yourself. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. We need to be having a productive time with God. God requires a productive time with us. And how do you have a productive time with God? Number one, because there are 3 tools that will give you a productive time with God. Number one, a regular time and place. Find a time and place that seems right for you. You need to have that time with God. Anytime you are going to that place, Like people have their war room. You are going there. God knows that you are coming there for him. Praise the Lord, somebody. So find a suitable time and place that you'll be meeting with your God. It's very, very important. If you are not having a productive time with God, there's no way you can be effectual in your own generation. There's no way. In Psalms 88, verse 13, the Bible says clearly, Psalms 88, verse 13, the Bible says, okay, the Bible is talking about crying unto God. In the morning, I will do what? Unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayers prevent thee. Psalms 88, verse 13. In the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the other scripture, Psalms 141, verse 2, talks about in the evening will I do what? Say my prayers as incense unto you. In the evening. And I will raise my hands. Look at it. It's already on the screen. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. In the morning, be in the presence of God. In the evening, be in the presence of God. Choose the time you want to choose. God is not a taskmaster. He has given you the freedom. Choose morning, choose evening, choose afternoon, anytime you want. And then, of course, if you want to enjoy God too much, you can be like Psalm 55 verse 17. Psalm 55 verse 17 is talking about, in the evening, my prayers will go to God. In the morning, my prayers will go to God. And in the noon, my prayers will go to God. I'm not confused. That is the sequence. The sequence starts with, in the evening, in the morning, and come back to in the noon. I will cry aloud. And shall hear, you shall hear my voice. So you can choose morning, you can choose evening, or you can choose morning, you can choose evening, morning, afternoon. Each way, God is always ready. He said you should pray without ceasing. You are not disturbing God when you are praying. He is ready, and he said you should pray without ceasing. You can pray 24 hours for 7 days, for the whole month. For 12 months in a year, God is not tired of listening to you. And you are not disturbing him. So you have no excuse whatsoever. When you are refusing to pray, you have no single excuse. Because God is not saying you are troubling. He's not man. His ways are different from the ways of man. When you go to somebody's house 3 times, he already knows when you, by the time you are coming, they are running towards the other door. And in our place, they will tell their children, tell the man I'm not around. When you come into the house, the young children, just 3 years, they don't know anything. They say, Daddy say I should tell you that he's not in the house. Then the person will understand that something is wrong. Daddy say I should tell you that he's not in the house. Meanwhile, Daddy is hiding in the bedroom. The child is talking to you in the parlor. That Daddy say I should tell you that he's not in the house. Because they have seen you too frequently. They think you are disturbing them. But God is not like that. That is the difference between God and man. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Disturb God. He has given you the liberty, the authority to disturb him. What are you waiting for? Because he knows that if he doesn't equip you, you cannot go and be effective in doing what he wants you to do. That is why he's ready to equip you. That is why he has raised apostles. Hallelujah. Like apostles. Woodworker, God has raised him to do to help you, to equip you. He will give you the word, and then you go on your own and study them all. By the time you come out, you are blowing hot like dynamite. The enemy will see you, and the enemy will bow. When the madman of Gadarenes saw Jesus, the road that everybody had abandoned because the man was too cruel, when he saw Jesus, he bowed down. If you're a child of God, you meet a madman on the street and the madman slap you, something is wrong with your Christianity. When you see a madman, the madman should see the authority in you and bow before you. If a madman can chase you on the street, a madman beat you up on the street, then go and check your Christianity. Something is wrong with you. Because the madman is supposed to bow when he sees the authority of the Lordship. He sees Jesus in you. He's not seeing you the ordinary person. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. So we need to be productive. So when you are praying, when you choose that time and place, value quality time over length. It's not the issue of, oh, I can pray for 1 hour. It's not the issue of bragging about it. Some people pray for 1 hour, no result. Some people pray for 10 minutes, they get result. It's the quality and not the length of time. Hallelujah, somebody. When you go before God, lock up every other thing around you and focus on God so that you get results. In the minimum time, get the highest quality. Praise the Lord, somebody. That is what is important. And don't turn the place into a place that it become a place of show for you. Like the world, the Pharisee that likes praying in open places and market square. So that everybody will know, ah, this brother can pray, this sister now, wow, Ika Bragada Baba Baba, you are in the office everywhere. Find a place where you can have a quiet time with your God. Hallelujah, somebody. Look for a suitable place. Praise the Lord. Number two, quickly, number two. Have an open Bible. Have what? An open Bible. If you want to have a productive time with God, anytime you are before God, have an open Bible. Because when you are before God, you are talking to God, God will also talk back to you. And God talks back to you in His Word. Hallelujah. So always have an open Bible. God speaks to us through His Word. Ask God for understanding. Just like in John chapter 14, verse 26. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will help you to understand all things. He will teach you. So when you are before God, ask God to help you. Open your Bible and put it there. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise the Lord, somebody. So the Bible is not a newspaper. You don't skim through the Bible. The Bible is a book of life. You need, it's like what you call a mine, where you can quarry it and remove precious material. Do you know a mine, like a gold mine? You have to quarry and dig and dig and remove the gold from the soil. That's how the Bible is. When you are skimming the Bible, you carry the Bible, you don't know where to read. You are skimming every time, skimming, skimming. There are so many ways you can read the Bible. Either topic by topic. Are you understanding me? You want to read on righteousness, you find what is on righteousness and read. Or you want to just read from Genesis to Revelation. Every day you can take a chapter and so on. There are so many ways of reading the Bible, but don't be skimming the Bible as if you are reading newspaper, looking at the headlines. You will get nothing because you are looking for the headlines. The Bible, you are supposed to chew the Bible. Hallelujah. Psalms 1 verse 2 of the message. Psalms 1 verse 2, the message Bible says you should chew the word of God. Chew the Bible. How do you chew something? You grind it with your teeth very well. You don't chew it here with those kind of. You chew it with your molars. This big one that will crush the teeth and you chew it very well. That's how you are supposed to chew the Bible. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. So to chew, supposed to chew it. Instead, you three to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. That is what God wants. Chew, eat the word. Hallelujah, somebody. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, seek and you will find. No, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock, it shall be open. When you seek, you will find. Praise the Lord, somebody. Search the Bible like silver. Hunt for the word of God like hidden treasure. Then you will understand respect for the Lord. And you will find that you know God. That is what will help you to know God. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. I want to be running. So some of these scriptures, I'll be jumping them. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 5. Chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. You should search for it like hidden treasure. Do it until you now understand the Lord. And then you will know that you know God. When you talk about reading the Bible, choose depth over quantity. Oh, I read 10 chapters of the Bible today. What did you find out of the 10 chapters? Did you find any scripture there that touched you? So you shouldn't be depending on quantity, depend on the depth of what you have gotten. Praise the Lord, somebody. It's very important. The little things I'm telling you here can change your life. Can change your life completely. So once you read this particular, you read the scripture and a particular word hits you, or a verse hits you, you do what? You stop and meditate on that one that hits you. You meditate on it and then take it down and continue to read it severally. You will get a revelation there that had never been preached by anybody. That is how God talked to us. So if you want to have time, good time with God, learn how to have a good time with God. Number three, quickly, a listening heart. A listening heart. James chapter 1 verse 25. Or the Phillies Bible. James 1 25. You must have a listening heart. Hallelujah. The Phillies Bible. James 1 25. Have a listening heart. God wants you to have a listening heart. Otherwise, you will not be able to get something from him even when you are in his presence. So have a listening ear. When you have that listening ear, James 1 25, you will now, understanding will come to you little by little. But then understanding comes a little at a time over a lifetime. A little what? At a time over a lifetime. You will get understanding. So it doesn't mean you must know everything at the same time. No. The little you get today should be enough. Tomorrow you get a little. Throughout your lifetime, by the time you see what you have gotten from God throughout your lifetime, it will marvel you. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. How do we know that we are listening to God? We know we are listening to God when what we have read in the Bible is what others see in our lives. That is how you know you are listening to God. What you are reading in the Bible, let other people see it in your life. It means you are really listening to the Bible. But if you say you are reading the Bible, God is talking to you, and you know you have been listening to the Bible, but your life does not change. Your life is not in line with the word of God. You are only deceiving yourself. Because when you are listening to God, the evidence is that people should see what you are already reading in your life. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:9, Revised Standard Version. But I say I'm running. I want to finish on time. So God is in the business of changing faces of the world. The change is God's job. It's not our own. Our goal is to make our faces radiant before God. It's not our goal to make our faces radiant before God. When you are in the presence of God, God is the one who will cause your face to be radiant. When Jesus appeared on the mountain with the three disciples, Jesus didn't change himself and became radiant. It was God that changed his face and became radiant. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, Moses didn't change his face. It was God that changed his face. All we need to do is to position ourselves so that God will now change our radiance and use us. Hallelujah. We don't need to be faking things. When you want to make yourself radiant, you are faking already. It is God that will make it radiant for people to know that you are being in the presence of God. It's not you. So when you are trying to make things yourself, you are already faking things. And that is how people continue until they enter into error. Allow God to change you. Allow God to change you. And everybody will know that something has changed in your life. Praise the Lord. I tell people, some people, when a minister wants to minister, they just carry hand to lay hand on them. They're standing there. The person is praying and praying. At a point, they feel that, let me have pity on this man now. So they just lay on the ground, so that the man of God will rest. So that they too, they will rest. You don't need to fake anything. If you are not overwhelmed by the power of God, you shouldn't fall. You don't receive by falling on the ground. Praise the Lord, somebody. No. You can receive standing with your eyes open. You can still receive your miracle. Hallelujah, somebody. You don't need to fake anything. Allow God to do what he wants to do. When the Holy Ghost is in charge, he announces himself. You don't need to say, I can feel the presence of God here. How can you feel it alone? Allow the Holy Ghost to allow his arrival. When he announces his arrival, everybody will know that the Holy Ghost is in charge. When we were praising and worshiping God here, you could see the atmosphere was charged. It was not man's making. Hallelujah. The Bible said God inhabits the presence of his people. So you don't need to fake anything. Allow God to be in charge. Hallelujah. And let God take the glory. Our goal is to stand before God prepared and willing. Our hearts open to receive from God. That's what God is looking for. When you are, what is worship? Worship is the act of magnifying God. That is worship. If you are doing anything outside that, magnifying yourself or your church or whatever, you are outside worship. Worship is the act of magnifying God. That is worship. So when you are magnifying God, you are worshiping God. And worship enlarges our vision of God. As you are magnifying him, you see how large he is. It enlarges our vision of who he is. And worship helps us to enter into his presence. Hallelujah. As we enter into his presence, our perception of him changes. The nearer we come to him, the larger he becomes. That is how God deals with us. Don't fake anything, my brothers and my sisters. Allow God. He's well able to do it. Praise the Lord, somebody. He's well able. So God invites us to see his face so that he can change ours. So that the world will see that we are being in the presence of God. So when you are coming to worship, always come prepared. Hallelujah. Come prepared for the worship service. Pray before you come so that you'll be ready when you arrive in the church. Sleep before you come so that when you arrive, you'll be alert. Some people, immediately they enter church, that is when the devil will give them sleep. And they just sit down. Praise and worship, they will manage and be on their feet. But they sit down. As you read the scripture, before you begin to preach, they are already sleeping. Sleep at home and be ready for worship service. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. The church is not a guest house for you to sleep. There's no bed inside the church. Praise the Lord. There are only pews for you to sit and listen to the word of God and worship God. If you want to sleep, sleep on your bed at home, not inside the church. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. I want to thank God for his mercy. Amen. And then when you are coming to church, make sure you read the Bible even before you come to church. When you do that, as you arrive in the church, your spirit is already what? Soft. Your spirit is already soft to receive the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And therefore you'll be able to receive. So when you come, come hungry for the word. Come willing to receive. Come expecting something from God. That is what makes the difference. Hallelujah. Come willing. Come hungry. Come expecting. And by the time you enter the church, ask God, will I be able to see you today? That is what makes the difference. Don't allow church to become routine. When you are coming to church, come with an expectation. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. When you are close to God, do something. You enjoy a relationship that is unique. Like between the sun and the moon and the earth. The sun shines the light through the moon to the earth. The moon does not shine any light. But the moment the earth comes in between the sun and the moon darkens, and we call it an eclipse. It can no longer give what? Light to the earth. When you are in close relationship with God, that is what happened in your life. You receive from God that is like the sun, and you shine your light to the world. But the moment you allow the word to come between you and God, you cannot service the word again because you are darkened. And that is why it's happening in our generation. Instead of doing what? Transforming. We are doing what? We are conforming to the word. We are allowing the word to take over the church instead of the church taking over the world. In the area of music, you hear the same rock when you are in the church, it's as if you are still in a clubhouse. In the area of dressing, the same thing. That everything, we are copying the word instead of the word copying us. But we are supposed to be what? A mirror to the world. Hallelujah. A mirror to the world. Oh, my God. Thank God. Let me just round up. My wife is looking at me. So I know that. I know that. I know. Oh, my God. Okay, let me just touch this one minute. Can you give me one minute? Amen? Just give me one minute. For these things are very fundamental. Your heart is like a greenhouse. A green wall. A greenhouse. Where you can produce fruit, produce flowers, and you can also produce weed. It's what you want you can produce. So your heart is like a greenhouse. The Holy Spirit is the one that stands to guard your heart. Your thoughts are the seed that comes into your heart. If you don't guard your thoughts and you allow negative thoughts to come into your heart, which is the greenhouse, they will only produce weed. But if you allow good thoughts to come into your heart by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your heart, you will filter it. The good thought that comes into the house will produce fruit and produce flowers. Do you know that we manage everything, but we don't ever think about managing our thoughts? We manage time management, financial management, personnel management, even scalp management. Some people even men sometimes put on wig to try and cover their cap, their head. They put on wig. Some people go and do hair grafting to grow the hair back where the scoria moro. They go and grow the hair. That is scalp management. Even we go to that extent. But we don't do thought management. If you don't manage your thinking, your thoughts, what goes into your heart. Remember the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. I don't have time. Let me just round up. And then in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, above all is guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Hallelujah. Amen. So to round up this message, Jesus is interested in salvation. That is why as cross-culture church, you must go out and win souls. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 32, Jesus gave three parables. As I say, I'm rounding up. Three what? Parables. The parable of the shepherd with 100 sheep. We lost one sheep and go after it. And when he gets that one sheep, there's joy. He celebrates, there's happiness. That's the same thing that happens in heaven. Number two parable. The parable of the woman with 10 coins that lost one coin and go and search for it. When they find the one coin, he calls neighbors to celebrate with her. And the last parable, the parable of the prodigal son. The lost son came back and the father celebrated him. There was happiness in the house. God is interested in winning souls. When souls are won, there's happiness in heaven. I tell people, the miracle of winning souls is far better than the miracle of bringing dead people physically back to life. If you bring a dead man back to life, the man can still die tomorrow and go to hell. What have you helped him for? You only postpone the evil day. He still die and go to hell. But if you bring somebody from spiritual death to life by serving the person, you have brought a life into the kingdom. That is why the angels celebrate. That is what interests God. And that is why God is saying, go, go, go. What are you sitting and doing? Let's stand up on our feet. Everybody, stand on your feet. I was telling my wife that I will try as much as possible. That I discovered that so many times the revelation that will be flowing in me, I will not be able to download it all. So I will just try and get as much as I give here. Amen? Praise the Lord, somebody. But I want us to pray. God showed me something that I want us to pray. When the apostles comes in the house, he deals with the situation that God shows him. When the prophet comes in the house, the prophet prophesies what God is showing him. Praise the Lord. And so on and so forth. Everybody should be in the state of prayer now. As we pray. And I saw and behold, there was a building. And that building was beautiful. All around the building was clear. And the road approaching the building to a far extent was clear. As the road approaches the building, between that good road and the good building, something happened in between. I saw there was a rugged gate mounted on that gate, in front of the house. The house had no fence, but the only road going to the house, there was a what? A gate with a padlock and chain blocking entrance. And God told me that the enemy put that padlock because in the house, they had kept Jesus out for so long that the enemy came and put padlock they didn't know. And that is why the goodness of the Lord cannot flow into the house. The house is a good house, but the house cannot enjoy the fullness of God because the padlock is already now blocking. That gate is blocking the blessings of the house. That is what God showed me. And I want us to pray. Remember, God has given us authority. He already commanded the guests by saying, "Open ye gates, all ye guests, and let the King of glory come in." And therefore, I take authority against that ancient gate. I take authority in the name that's above every name. The Bible said, the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Of things in heaven, things on earth, and things beneath the earth. And every man shall confess the lordship of Jesus. And therefore, I take authority against that ancient gate with those padlock and chain. I command every chain to be broken. I command the padlock to come asunder. And I remove that gate now. I command you to open in the name of Jesus. Every gate that is standing against your marriage, I command you to open in the name of Jesus. Every gate that is standing against your ministry, I command you to open in the name of Jesus. Every gate that is standing against fulfilling your destiny, I command you to open in the name of Jesus. Whatever gate that is putting you in bondage, I command that gate to open now in the name of Jesus. And I saw again. I saw. We entered the house. I'm talking about what God showed me concerning this house. I saw as we entered the house, somebody was very dejected. And in that, he said that he had failed his exam. That was the confession. And that he doesn't know under the circumstance, he just failed the exam. And then, as it was like a student hostel, as we go to eat, even the food that they were sharing, everybody his plate. The man could not get his plate. It was the food that somebody had started eating that he had to cut from it to eat. And God told me clearly that your own portion in life, somebody else wants to take it. Whoever wants to take that which belongs to you, we use the authority in the name of Jesus. And we command those powers to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Your food will belong to you. When you sweat for something, nobody will come and eat the sweat of your labor. In the name of Jesus. What belongs to you, you will receive it. You will inherit your inheritance. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will possess your possession. In the name of Jesus. Anything that the enemy wants to take away from you, there shall be a restoration. There shall be a restoration in the name of Jesus. God has given us authority that we should pull down anything that is not raised by God. I use the authority in the name of Jesus now. Anything the enemy has raised up against you, against this ministry, against your business, your family, whatever concern you, I pull it down now in the name of Jesus. I pull down every stronghold of the enemy and I cast it out from you in the mighty name of Jesus. God said, anything not planted by him shall be uprooted. Anything not planted by God that is planted by the enemy against your family, against your marriage, against your business, against your ministry, or what concerns you, I uproot it now in the name of Jesus. I uproot it now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the same scripture that we have the authority to destroy the works of Satan. Jesus came to destroy the work of Satan. And he gave that authority to you and me. We stand on the name of Jesus now. And we destroy every work of Satan against you. Every work of Satan against your family. Every work of Satan against your work, your career, your ministry, your business. We destroy every work of Satan in the name of Jesus. And the same scripture said, any war or limitation that is raised against us, we should throw it down. I don't care what the enemy has done. Whatever war the enemy has raised against you, the war of limitation, the war of retrogression, the war that keeps you perpetually in bondage, the war that keeps you away from fulfilling your purpose, the war that keeps you away from grabbing what belongs to you, I take authority now and I throw down that war of partition, that limitation war. I throw you down in the name of Jesus. I throw every word down in the name of Jesus. And God has planted you in Cross Coastal Church for a purpose. God who has planted you will build you up in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a clap of offering.